بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. This is our ninth session, and this is based on lesson 6 of the book Philosophical Instructions by Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. This lesson regards definition of philosophy and its subject matter and some other related issues. So the title is, What is Philosophy? The author starts with a discussion about the relation between the subject matter and problems. If we consider a science, a discipline, as a set of propositions which are related to each other, so we have a subject matter for that science or discipline, and we have some number of problems. We mean here by problems the propositions belonging to that discipline. For example, if you have philosophy, then you have several philosophical problems, several philosophical propositions that you have in philosophy. Of course, when you say problem, you refer to the mental aspect of it. When you say proposition, maybe you refer to the mental, or you may just refer to the linguistic aspect of it. Anyway, there are many, many things that you discuss in philosophy. These are problems which are discussed in philosophy. And you have also a subject matter for philosophy. Now we want to see what is the relation between subject matter and problems. Of course, in the previous session, we had a short discussion about this, but now the author wants to explore more and elaborate more on this issue. According to what we said before, each science may have a subject matter which is like a whole, and then it has several parts, or maybe like a universal which has several particulars. So, for example, in the case of medicine, if you consider its subject matter human body, then you can have different parts of human body as subject matters for its problems, and also for derivative sciences that may become into existence by dividing medicine into several derivative disciplines. But in the case of, for example, philosophy, you have existence as its subject matter, and then different forms of existence, not different parts of existence, because existence has no part, but different forms, different sorts, different types of existence as subjects of philosophical problems. So this is something which you already know, and it's not new for you. What is important here is that a subject matter may be considered as an absolute concept or as a limited and restricted concept. And in this way, it may become subject matter for different disciplines. For example, if you consider matter, physical matter, what we call it al-madda, if you consider physical matter absolutely, without being restricted to any form of physical matter, this can be discussed in a special science, a special discipline, which is different when you limit and restrict matter into its particular forms or sorts. For example, the author says that you may have this matter discussed in respect to its intrinsic qualities and the way that it may be combined or analyzed and so on. So this is the way that we discuss matter in chemistry. But you may discuss matter in another way in physics. For example, when you want to study the changes, the apparent changes, the physical changes that happen to the matter, and the movements, the motions that may occur to the matter. So the matter from one aspect may be discussed in chemistry, from another aspect may be discussed in physics. But if you want to have matter without any limitation, without any restriction, just discuss generally, very generally about matter, that is another discipline. This is a third discipline, which is more general than physics or chemistry. For example, in the philosophical works, what was the conventional and the ordinary way of dividing the sciences which are related to matter was to say that we have matter as a general subject matter for natural sciences without limiting that. So matter absolutely, matter without limit. This was the general topic for natural sciences, for tabi'iyat. Then matter with limitation was subject matter of physics, chemistry, zoology, botany, and so on. And there is still another way, and that is to say absolute matter, not matter absolutely and not limited forms of matter. Absolute matter, which was discussed in a science which was called Sama'i Tabi'i or Sam'ul Qiyan, which means elementary natural science or natural science related to the Qiyan. Qiyan sometimes means astronomy, but sometimes means also the cosmos, which means world. So it's a form of cosmology. Anyway, this Sama'i Tabi'i or Sama'ul Qiyan was a title given by philosophers to a study of absolute matter. So now you have become familiar with two ways the term absolute may be used. Sometimes you say absolute A, and sometimes else you say A absolutely. And these are totally different. For example, if we say being absolutely, it means that any form of being, whether limited or unlimited, whether finite or infinite, all beings. But if you say absolute being, it means being without limitation. Absolute being is different from limited beings. But being absolutely can be applied to limited beings and unlimited beings. Okay? So, if for example, another example, if you say man, human being, absolutely, so I am included, you are included, everyone is included, whether young or old, whether white or black or green or yellow, male or female, all are included under man absolutely, human being absolutely. If we say old man, young man, so it's not possible to include other forms of man. So this is limited form of man. But if we say absolute man, this is neither man absolutely nor limited form of man. When we say absolute man, here we have taken absoluteness as a limitation. So absolute man is neither me nor you, because we are not absolute. Absolute man means to have the concept of man without anything added to it, which does not exist, of course, outside. This is something that we can only imagine in our mind. Outside, you have always man with something, with some qualities, with some additions. But having absolute man outside is not possible without any addition. Of course, you can extract, you can remove all those additions and consider it as absolute man. But in reality, there is nothing as absolute man separately, independently outside. Anyway, now let's go back to our own discipline, that is philosophy. In philosophy, which I mean metaphysics, in philosophy we are concerned with being not in a limited form. We are not concerned with, for example, being in the way which is discussed in mathematics, or in the way which is discussed in chemistry, or astronomy, or economics, or physics. No. We talk about being as such, about being without any limit. So, general qualities of being are our concerns. So we discuss about being as such, or being qua being. Or you could say we study general problems, general qualities of existence. Okay, so this is something which is very important. You may ask me, do you discuss in philosophy about absolute being or about being absolutely? This is something that you may ask me. So the answer is, if you mean by philosophy metaphysics, which is related to all forms of being, which is not limited to any form of being, so we are not just talking about absolute being, which is God the Almighty. We are talking about being absolutely. It means that all forms of being are included in the subject matter of our discipline. But if you mean by absolute being a being which is not limited, so I can accept that philosophy studies about absolute being. So this is very important to distinguish between absolute being in the sense which is infinite being, unlimited being, the most perfect being, which is only God the Almighty, the necessary being. Or you say absolute being in the sense that you mean any form of being, being as such. Yes, being as such is the subject matter of philosophy. So if you mean by absolute being this, that is the subject matter of philosophy. The other part of the lesson is about the principles of discipline. If you look at the screen, please look at the screen. We have in every science we have a subject matter. Of course, there is a complicated discussion here, whether really every science needs a subject matter, or there may be sciences which have no single subject matter. But we don't need to discuss this issue at this stage. In general, every science has at least one subject matter. Then we have problems of that science, and problems of that science are a set of propositions. And each proposition indeed has a subject, like for example A, and a predicate like B. You say A is B. Okay? So A, that is subject of propositions or problems of a science, must be either a particular for the subject matter of that science, or a part of the subject matter. So if subject matter is a whole, but we call it al-kull, so A must be its parts. And if subject is a universal, so A must be its particulars. Okay? So either you have a whole which you divide as many as you need, and each becomes subject matter for secondary propositions, or you have a universal and then you have a smaller particulars. Like for example, you have here being, and then you have necessary being and contingent being. Or for example, you have human being, and then you have different sorts of human being. For example, if you discuss about male and female, or for example, you discuss about the races and ethnicity. So these are not parts of human being. These are forms and sorts of human being. Okay. The third thing that we have is what we call it principles. But this may not be familiar to you, because principle has different meanings. This is what traditionally is called al-mabade, or sometimes they say al-mabadi, because this hamza can be changed into ya. Al-mabadi. Mabadi or Al Mabade. Okay. What do we mean by Al Mabadi? We mean by Al Mabadi something which must be known before we start our study of the subject matter of that discipline. So before we enter into that discipline seriously, we need to discuss about Al-Mabadi. And Al-Mabadi are divided into two. So we have conceptual principles which we call Al-Mabade At-Tasavvuriyya. Okay? At-Tasavvuriyya. And we have assertive principles or propositional principles, which we call it al-mabade at-tasdiqiyya. So I write also the transliteration for you so that you can read the Arabic pronunciation. Okay, so conceptual and assertive. What we mean by conceptual and what we mean by assertive is as follows. Conceptual principles means those concepts that we must know before we enter that discipline. For example, we must know the subject matter, we must know the aim, we must know different forms and so on. But by al-mabada or tasdiqiyya or assertive principles, we mean some propositions which we must know. For example, whether the subject matter of that discipline exists or not. It may be evident, obvious, but sometimes may not be obvious. For example, in the case of medicine, if you want to know the concept of human body, this is conceptual principle. But if you want to know whether human body exists or not, this is assertive principle. And this is obvious. But if you want to know whether, for example, in psychology and also in the sciences which are related to human spirit, like mysticism and so on, if you want to know whether a spirit exists or not, this is related to assertive principles. You should know that you cannot prove the existence of the spirit in a discipline which studies spirit, because this is a presupposition for that discipline. This is what we must discuss in Al-Mabade At-Tasdiqiyya. Okay? So, having said this, we must know that philosophy is a science which is very useful, very helpful in understanding assertive principles of many, many sciences. Perhaps you could say all sciences, all experimental sciences or natural sciences or human sciences. Because if you want to talk about nature, about experiment, about the way to use experiment to prove something or at least to argue for something, if you want to talk about human being and its soul and human sciences, all need some presuppositions, some principles which can be taken from philosophy. Now, let's focus on the subject matter and problems of philosophy. The author says that the subject matter of philosophy, as we have said several times up to now, is being, existence. But we are not concerned with any particular form of existence. So we could say the subject matter is al-mawjood bima huwa mawjood. If you look at the screen, please. Please look at the screen. So you have being or existence. You should know that sometimes we say being, we mean existence, and sometimes we say being and we mean existent. So sometimes being means al-wujud, and sometimes means al-mawjud. So there is a difference between existence and existent, al-wujud or al-mawjud. If you want the transliteration, so this is al-wujud and this is al-mawjud. Okay? Al-mawjud. Okay. So, in philosophy, we discuss existence, or we discuss, you could say, general qualities of existent. Either you say we discuss about existence in a general way, or about existent as such. This is what they call al-ahwal al-amma lil-wujud, which means general qualities of being, I mean existence, or al-mawjud bima huwa mawjud, which means existent qua existent, or being qua being, or you could say being as such. Why so much emphasis on saying general qualities of being or being qua being? Why? Because we must know that in philosophy we are not concerned with limited forms of being, with those studies which focus, concentrate on particular forms of being. We are talking about being as such, being qua being. So, I hope it has become clear that what sort of investigation, what sort of inquiry we are making in philosophy. The author mentions that the best way to classify philosophy as a science which studies being as such or being qua being is to have general discussions about being, and then if you want to focus on some form of being, consider it as different disciplines. For example, if you want to talk about, for example, God the Almighty, so it's better to consider it as a separate discipline, as an independent discipline, which studies necessary being, or perfect being, or infinite being. It's better not to say that this is part of philosophy, because this is not related to being as such. This is related to a special form of being, which is absolute being or infinite being. The final point in this lesson is regarding the characteristics or features of philosophy. There are four features of philosophy which are mentioned here. First, the methodology of philosophy is the intellectual one. So in philosophy, our method is not based on experiments or on narrative studies. We are just after intellectual arguments. The second point, the second feature of philosophy, is that philosophy is a very important discipline because it serves to understand assertive principles, al-mabade at-tasdiqiyya, for many other disciplines. And perhaps it can be considered as mother of other disciplines. The third point is that in philosophy, because we study qualities of being, qua being, so we are able to learn methods, and we are able to learn standards by which we can distinguish between reality and fiction, between truth and falsity, between facts and illusions. So this is also another thing. The fourth feature of philosophy is that the concepts which are discussed, which are used in philosophy, are the concepts which are not taken, which are not derived through conceptual knowledge which is taken from experiments. These concepts are conceptual framework that we do not take from experiments, from observation. We take them from a secondary intellection of our mind. This is a complicated issue. Inshallah, we will talk about this in our discussions about epistemology. Just to give you some idea, let me give you an example. When you talk about causality, the principle of causality, so you have cause and effect. Or if you talk about necessary and contingent, or about, for example, material and abstract. These concepts, these six, for example, that I mentioned, cause, effect, necessary, contingent, material, abstract. These concepts are concepts that are not taken directly from experiments. You have no experiment which can discover cause as cause. You can experiment, have experiment about fire. But what about cause? It is only our mind's production. Our mind works on the relation between fire and heat, and then abstracts the concept of cause and applies it to the fire, for example. So this is a special form of concepts which we call it philosophical secondary intelligibles, al-ma'gulat al-thaniya al-falsafiyya. If you look at the a screen. Okay, so we have philosophical, secondary, intelligibles. Okay. These are the concepts which are used in philosophy. Muslim philosophers call it al-ma'gulat, al-thaniya, or al-thanawiyya, al-falsafiyya. Al-ma'gulat means intelligibles. Al-thaniya or thanawiyya means secondary. Al-falsafiyya means philosophical. And this is one of the important contribution of Muslim philosophers to human philosophy of mankind. And this distinction between philosophical secondary intelligibles and logical secondary intelligibles and primary intelligibles was not that much known to the Western philosophers. Still today, many people who study philosophy do not know and are not familiar with this distinction. Inshallah, in future, when we talk about epistemology, we will talk more about these sorts of concepts. But just to give you some idea, as I said, if you consider the concept of cause, this concept is very special. If you have a fire outside, okay, so cause can be applied to fire, so the external fire can be considered as a cause, but fire has not causality as one of its external features. So outside, you have nothing as cause independently, separately existing. You may have fire or other forms of causes. So cause is possible to be applied to the external fact, like fire. But the way that we understanding cause is through our mind. So fire must go to our mind, and our mind works on that and produces cause, the concept of cause. Okay? So this is a sort of intellection. You need intellection here. But when you look at, for example, a horse, okay? And then you have the concept of, for example, animal. So animal can be applied to horse, and horse can directly lead to animal. Just you need perhaps some observation or a small, very little abstraction, which is not comparable to the amount of work that our mind must work to produce the concept of cause. Inshallah, later when we talk about epistemology, we will discuss different sorts of concepts and what is the relation between the secondary and the primary intelligibles, and what is the difference between philosophical secondary intelligibles and logical secondary intelligibles. So, in this lesson, we discussed about subject matter, problems, and principles of disciplines or sciences, and we said that sometimes a subject matter may be taken in different ways to be able to have different sorts of investigation. For example, you add a restriction, a limitation, and make it the subject matter of one discipline. You add another restriction and make it subject matter for a second discipline, and sometimes you consider it absolutely, and it becomes the subject matter for yet different discipline. Then we said that before studying any science or discipline, there are some concepts that we must know and some propositions that we must know. We call those concepts conceptual principles, al-mabadi' al-tasawwuriyya, and those propositions we call them assertive principles, al-mabadi' al-tasdiqiyya. And we said that philosophy is very important because it serves to understand assertive principles for many, many sciences, or perhaps for all sciences, and this is why it has been also called mother of sciences. And then we said that the subject matter of philosophy is being qua being, or being as such. And we said that in philosophy we are not concerned with limited or with restricted existence. We are considered with the absolute existent. But again, I repeat that when we say the absolute existent, we do not mean the necessary existent, the infinite existence. Because inshallah later you will realize that the absolute existent is necessary existent in a sense. But here when we say the absolute existent, we mean existent which is general, which is not limited. And this is different from existent absolutely. Because existent absolutely means a sort of existent which is divided into absolute and limited. So even limited beings, limited existence can be included under existent absolutely. So please look at the screen. If you have being, okay, and you divide it into limited being and absolute being. So this is what we call it al-maqsam. This is what is divided, and these are divisions. Limited being is opposite to absolute being. Limited being may be discussed in mathematics, in physics, in chemistry, in astronomy, in zoology, in botany, and whatsoever. Absolute beings, which means being as such, being qua being, is studied in metaphysics or philosophy. But this means being absolutely. Being absolutely. This is in compliance with limited being and absolute being. So if you have a limited being, so it is under this. If you have absolute being, it's also under this. Because here you have being without observation, without reservation of whether it is limited or not. Okay? So these two divisions are not possible to be put together. But these two, or these two, are possible. So, in philosophy we talk about absolute being, but again I repeat for the third time that by absolute being, here we mean being as such, being qua being. We don't mean here by absolute being the most perfect being. That is another sense. Okay, inshallah, in the next session we will continue our discussion about philosophy, and the title is The Position of Philosophy. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.